Hey everybody, my name is Damara West and I'm founder of Be Well Beautiful Woman, where we help women to center their healing and liberation so that they can lead and live lives on their own terms. I am so excited to bring you Devon Bolden, the part of our Women Who Write to Liberate Summit. You are going to be learning so much from her, so you make sure that you have something to write with because we have a lot that we're going to be exploring today. But let me tell you a little bit about her and of course the summit. So the summit is dedicated to folks to find their voice, women just like you. It's comprised of female writers and those that support the craft of writing to inspire the writing in you so that you can find your authentic voice and use it in ways that you feel inspired to, including but not limited to writing a book. Devon Bolden is the founder and CEO of Embolden Media Group, a literary agency and publishing consulting firm focused on amplifying diverse Christian voices. In her 18 years in publishing, Devon has worked as senior acquisitions editor for adult nonfiction at Charisma House and as senior editor for children's nonfiction at Scholastic. Launching out on her own in 2017, Devon now shares the best of what she knows with passionate and creative people who desire to publish exceptional books. Devon, I am so, so glad that you said yes to partnering with me on this summit.
Thank you, Damara. It's such an honor to be here. I'm excited to have this conversation and excited to learn from you and your community and also to see, you know, ways I can help you all publish and write well.
Fantastic. So let's go ahead and dive right in, Javon. So the first thing that I'm sure people are curious about is that, you know, folks sometimes have a skewed perspective of the Christian writer, right? And what it means to write within the Christian genre. So talk to us about the diversity of stories that have been told by Christian writers and whether or not someone could be published within this genre, regardless of their belief.
Yeah. So first of all, thank you for that question. And I'll be honest, as many times as I've talked about publishing, I've actually never given an answer to a question like this. I don't think I've ever been asked a question like this. And I initially wanted to try to figure out, well, what are some of the things that people think about Christian writers? And so, you know, I want to start by saying Christians are not bound by writing for the Christian space. Christians exist in every part of culture, in every industry, in every field. Christians are scientists, Christians are theologians, Christians are academics, professors, stay-at-home moms, they're, you know, stay-at-home dads, they're, you know what I mean? So there's a spectrum there that I hope that people can be open to, even as they think about their own writing career and practice. What decides whether or not you're going to write in the Christian space really has to do with how you're positioning your message or your story. And we could talk about that at another time, but I just want to express that Christians write everything. Yes. And there are some things that are expressly Christian. There's also a range of ways that Christians express their faith. If you are more traditional or conservative, or you have a way of seeing certain aspects of the Christian life, there are publishers for you. If you are more a moderate and in the middle about various things like the roles of family life and different things like that, there's publishers for you. If you're more progressive and open, and you may say I'm more spiritual in this way or that way versus I don't say I'm a Christian anymore. There's all kinds of things that's happening in our culture as Christians right now due to due to many factors. Yes. And so there are publishers who, which I think is kind of awesome because our Christian walk can take a lot of turns. And I think we need to realize that without us, you know, we're on a journey with God, and sometimes we're believing one way and then God takes us and moves us another way. So I think it's, you know, it's amazing to see that there are writings and stories and expressions that kind of reflect the journey of a Christian's life. That's within the Christian space that is allowed. So no, you don't have to believe all one way. That was another part of your question. But the other thing too, is that Christians don't only write Christian content.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so thank you for indulging us, right, with that question, because, you know, like you said, you know, maybe you've been asked some iteration of it and, you know, to be asked in this very blatant way and to give us this really lovely, comprehensive answer to say, right, there are layers to this. There are levels to this. And I'm even hearing you say that, you know, no matter where you're at on your journey, if you're a believer, that maybe even if you don't take on the label as Christian, you might be writing within that genre, as you said, depending on the message, who you're attempting to reach. And I imagine that may change, right, across genres for the same story, essentially.
Yeah, that can happen.
Okay, beautiful. So thank you so much for that. So the next thing that I want to know is, what do you look for when determining whether or not you want to work with a writer?
So, you know, this experience that I've had in publishing, from being an editor to being a literary agent, and along the way, sort of coaching and shepherding authors through their process of developing their ideas, or even coaching them through the actual page by page, chapter by chapter writing process, you know, that answer is evolving for me. I'll be honest with you, because at one point you're thinking, you know, you don't even have a criteria, really. But as I've done this more and more over the years, I think there are some valuable things to consider when working with a writer. And that is, you know, I think the top of the list for me would be tolerance for the process. Do you have high tolerance for the changes that could come? Are you flexible? Are you determined? Are you teachable? Are you patient? Are you hardworking? Writing is very hard. The actual practice of writing, the craft of writing, is challenging. And then making it for an audience can be challenging. And then entering into that publishing process has its own level of challenges. So I think resiliency is hugely important. Flexibility is hugely important. And then a passion for the craft, especially if you're saying, I want to write this. I'm a writer. Writer and author sometimes are two different things. We could get into all that whole discussion. Some people feel a little irritated by the fact that some authors have writers, but that is a fact, and it's an honorable profession as well. But when you're talking about being a writer, there is a lot that goes into it. It can be emotionally, spiritually, financially costly. Sometimes it puts some weight on relationships. So, and then being able to stand up to rejection and critique. So all of that kind of falls into that resiliency, tolerance for the process, I think are really high attributes that I look for.
Yeah, I love all of the categories that you gave, right? Because I imagine that might not be what someone is thinking about in terms of what it takes and what's appealing to you about working with a writer, knowing the rigor of it. And, you know, one of the women on the lineup is Marita Golden, and, you know, she's written 20 plus books. And it was really mind-blowing to me when she said, if I can walk away from 250 words and feel really good about my writing, then I've achieved something. And, you know, and in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, it's 1,000 words or 2,000 words. This is someone that, you know, she's a writer. She's not just an author. And so I like that you, even though you didn't elaborate on it, you did distinguish between those two worlds. And we can certainly explore that from your perspective if you'd like. But it was really mind-blowing to hear that from her, knowing that she's dedicated her whole life to the field of writing. Mm-hmm. And for her to say, if I can feel good about 250 words, I've achieved something significant today. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. was really, really comforting to hear, particularly for people who feel like they have to have these grandiose goals when it mm-hmm. comes to writing. And of course, this is someone who's a writer. So the quality of what she's putting out there really matters. And so is there anything else you want to say about distinguishing between being a writer and being an author, and things that are important to be mindful of if you're really looking to not just author a book?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for diving in deeper there. I want to just reflect back to what we were just saying. This idea, some of us can, we have like all these little quips and quotes and things like that, that help us center what's important in a process. One of the things that came to my mind as we were talking about this is that, talent really can only take you so far. Sometimes we're thinking, oh, if I'm good at this, not really. I mean, sometimes some of those other attributes that we talked about, determination, resilience, being able to handle rejection well, things like that, critique, feedback, all of that, they actually play heavily into being a successful writer, right? Because you could have talent and not be able to I give up after this. I don't feel like doing this anymore. This is very hard. Yeah. So, those things are there. Those attributes actually matter a whole lot. And there are people who are not great writers, and we all know it. They're not great writers. And like, how are you publishing these books?
Yeah.
But there are other
people are buying.
And right now, people are buying them.
People are buying in troves.
Yes. Yes. And, and we're trying to figure out, well, what in the world? What? And it's those other attributes that come into play. We haven't even gotten into talking about marketing your work or anything like that, but some of those other attributes they have. So when it comes to authoring versus writing, first of all, those two things can coexist, but they also can be distinct roles. So when I talk about authoring, I'm really talking about someone who has an idea, has a message. They may be speakers or teachers or workshop people or experts in a field or something like that. They've done some level of work in that field, so they have original ideas and things like that. And so they either may not have the time mm-hmm. or the skill or talent to do that kind of work, the writing work to get their messages, stories, ideas, frameworks mm-hmm. Out into the world. And so it works for them to actually hire a writer who is skilled in communicating with certain audiences. The writer themselves may have a certain level of expertise in that field of study as well. That sometimes can happen, and it's helpful. So in other words, if you're like a financial expert, mm-hmm. It would be great to work with a writer who has some experience in the financial market, or having written financial pieces before. It helps with the understanding. So that's where I see the difference. That's what I mean. And so the writers who do those, that work on behalf of authors, or the subject matter experts, or however you want to call it, they're often called, obviously, ghostwriters or collaborative writers, and happens quite a bit in.
Sure. And probably way more than what we think. We pick up a book and we see that, person whose name on it is the one who's written it. And I love that you've illuminated this, right? That it's a pretty common practice.
It is.
And that, it's, I guess in some ways it's no different than outsourcing, right? So you have an idea in whatever way we're needing to get the support, this is one of the ways that we can get our story out there. So, just a quick follow-up question about that. What should people look for if they're looking to hire a ghostwriter? And what kind of investment might someone be looking at?
So ghostwriting, collaborative writing is, yes. So as we're talking to writers, that is a field that sometimes can be in demand. And so growing your portfolio in the area. Same, it's a similar idea as having a being a graphic designer, being an illustrator. There's an idea sometimes that you're being commissioned to work from. It's a very similar idea. So when you're looking at either hiring, when you're looking at hiring or being one, you want to make sure that the person has the ability to mimic and elevate the author's voice. So it doesn't need to be some far away, and you can't really put your own fingerprints on it that way. It doesn't need to sound like you, it needs to sound like the author. So having that skill is very important. You want to look for someone who does have some level of experience with writing. But as far as cost goes, sometimes it is more cost effective to work with a newer writer than it is to work with someone who has, you know, accolades and credits under their name. Yeah. The more experience a writer has, the more expensive they're going to be. Mm-hmm. And the more they're going to want to be visible in the project. So in other words, they may want to have their name on the cover with the author's name.
Wow.
They may want their name on the copyright page, or they may want their name in the acknowledgments. There are different things, different ways to work out those kinds of agreements. Then they may also want a fee in advance, of course, but then they, in addition to that, they may want royalties. And all of that. And some of them have literary agents, and some of them, their agents will negotiate on their behalf. But the range of cost is, for newer writers, depending on word count and subject matter and the amount of research, what the writer will have to do to get the information from you, can affect the cost. And so collaborative writing, ghostwriting is probably the most expensive line item in publishing when it comes to, you know, how much is this going to cost us?
Yeah.
So you're looking at ranges for newer writers, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 for, you know, a project. I would say closer to the $10,000 range if you're talking about like a 50,000 word book, 40,000 word book, $10,000 to $15,000, and then upwards from there. And of course, for some of these celebrity A-list type books, you're looking at six figures sometimes for a collaborative or ghostwriter.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I love that. And I know that we weren't planning to dive into that topic, but I'm so glad that we did. And I like that you also said collaborative writing, right? I don't usually hear that term coerced with ghost writing, but it's a really beautiful way to think about a project should we need that kind of support in the execution of our writing.
Yeah, I think that helps us to reframe what's happening in the process. But then it also says, so it also communicates the difference in is the ghostwriter is literally a ghost. They are not seen anywhere in the project for the most part, unless the writer wants to, unless the author wants to give credit, maybe in the acknowledgments. Like I have worked in that capacity with a few authors, and some of them mention me and some of them don't. Mm-hmm. I call myself a collaborative writer because, you know, for the most part, I don't. The agreements range, the types of agreements range. Some agreements call for a writer to be, to not say anything about it. They can't talk about it. They can't say they were ever involved. I mean, there's different levels of confidentiality. And then there are others that, like I said, have a stipulation for how the writer will be acknowledged. And usually if the writer is acknowledged, you want to call them more the collaborative writer versus the ghostwriter.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I love that reframing. So, so beautiful. Okay, so the next thing that I want to know is, you know, you have a lot of clients that work with you. And so if someone was looking to work with you or another agent, what are some of the things that they should look for?
Yeah, when you're looking for an agent, you want to look for fit. And fit can mean a few things. first of all, you want to make sure that what you are pitching to them is what they're looking for. So your book proposal, your book idea is matching the types of books they're acquiring and looking for, the types of writing. And so you want to follow their submission process. Mm-hmm. And then from there, fit also can mean, is this the kind of agent I want to work with? Mm. You know, getting to know them through various ways. Sometimes most agents have websites. Most agents are in social media. Most agents are writing and blogging. Most agents do some type of media outreach, or they show up at conferences or teach workshops or are on panels, whatever. Get to know them. Get to know them, even reaching out to their clients if that's a possibility, but kind of getting to know them to see if they're the type of agent that you want to work with. Mm-hmm. Every agent is not the same, and every agent does not work with authors the same. Mm-hmm. There are agents who are more marketing minded, who are not really engaged with the book proposal process. They hope that you have a good book proposal and that it's ready to go. Yeah. So that they can pitch it. And then they may help with things like PR and marketing ideas and things. Then there are others who are very content oriented, who's like, for example, me, my experience is in content development with working as an editor in a publishing house. So mm-hmm. I'm going to spend, you know, I can spend time with you developing content and things like that. Polishing up your book proposal. An agent should still be able to give you notes.
Yeah.
Should still be able to say, fix this, do that. But how they work with you in that process may be different because of different backgrounds.
Yeah.
So I would say those are some of the main differences to look for.
Yeah, that's super, super helpful. And you know, you talked about it, right? Because some, you know, and to some extent, it's like, what is the ease by which I can work with this person? Do I like this person?
Do you like this person? Likeability matters. Yeah.
Yes, it definitely matters. And I like how you also share with us how you work, right? And in part because of the layers of expertise that you have from your years of working in the industry in a variety of capacities. So the next thing I want to explore with you is, you know, what are the best reasons that you found that someone would self-publish versus going through a publishing house?
Yeah. I've been in the industry for actually almost 20 years now. I started in 2003. And back 15 plus years ago, self-publishing was kind of stigmatized.
Yeah.
People kind of looked at it like, well, you know, this isn't good or can't be good. But what I love is the fact that it has grown, and access to quality, quality professionals and support in that area, education, and so forth has just grown so much. And I love that, because who would not want to at some point have a good option where I just want to do what I want to do? You know, I want to do it my way. And for the type of person I am, I really enjoy that. So you may want to self-publish just to be able to feel a level of control over your message, over, you know, the packaging of your project, book cover, typesetting, layout, the interior layout, editing and all those steps. I highly recommend that you still educate yourself on the publishing process and try to mimic that as closely as possible, because I think that we owe it to our dreams and owe it to our message to publish it well, you know, not just throwing anything out there. And that is something that self-publishing does allow. You can literally throw anything out there. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about an open market. However, Do you want to be that person who just throws anything out there? You can.
Yeah.
But do you want to be that person? You know? So mm-hmm. I really think that I love that about self-publishing. And there are even companies that help support authors in the ability to self-publish. So in other words, they have the network of freelancers who are excellent at what they do. They have award-winning cover designers. They have typesetters, fantastic editors at their disposal, and they'll take your project on and help project manage that for you. So, I mean, the other thing that you'll look forward to as a self-published author is that you can manage your own inventory. You don't have to wait for the publisher to do this or that. You can go directly to the printer and set up things that way. And distribution you can manage as well. It maybe there's a lot more limitation on a self-published author when it comes to distribution. However, you can't, independent stores may be harder to penetrate. And then also getting your books in brick and mortar stores may be harder to negotiate as well as an independent author. However, you know, you still get the majority of the profit. You get the split, a higher split when it comes to earning back all the money that you invested. But then you still got to do your work in marketing. You still have to do all of that matters. So there's a lot more control, but then it also means that a lot more is up to you to do to see your book be successful. Partnering with a publisher through traditional publishing, there's a lot more there's a lot more support in a lot of the areas that some authors, writers are not well versed in.
Yeah. Thank you for giving us such a full answer and such an objective perspective. And I like what you said, no matter what route you go, take the field of writing seriously. Take the field of publishing seriously. And it's really appreciated because I know many people that have self-published and could use more time to get to know the field, how to put out a quality product that would be very attractive, how to market themselves. And, you know, you highlighted it, right? There's pros and cons to both approaches, but no matter what you do, focus on putting out something quality because it is a part of your brand, your reputation. And once it's out there in the world, you can't take it back.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Even if you do literally take it back, like you take it down out of, you can still search things and find them.
Yes.
Things on the internet stay up forever nowadays. So mm-hmm. just be mindful of that.
Great. Thank you again. That was such a comprehensive, well-balanced answer. So, you know, we're going to talk about marketing now. And I know that you alluded to it earlier. So talk to us about the process of marketing writing, why it's important, and, you know, what are the most effective ways you found to get yourself out there as a writer?
So I'll start by saying I have a working knowledge of writing. I'm not a marketing professional. However, I have supported authors in that area. I've coached and developed that. And also as a independent author myself, I've done some work in that area. So, you know, I think one of the things that writers must be mindful of is that you don't really want to start marketing yourself after you've written and published the book. It's a little bit too late. Then you want to some of the best practices say things like you want to start 24 months before the book comes out. Wow. So even working on how you appear in either social media, if you are you know, a speaker or leading in a certain area, you want to start, you know, gearing your content and your expressions and things like that toward what you're writing, and starting way ahead. And so when you're talking about, especially in today's world culture, whatever, social media plays a huge part in how people see us and how we're able to be seen. And it's wonderful, actually, in a lot of ways, but it's also very complicated, too. Yeah. And some people are very intimidated by it because it's a learning curve. It has a big learning curve. So get to understand your social media and begin to find out ways to do it very well. Have a great website. Do not, I would say, over social media. Well, no. I don't mean don't do social media. That's not what I mean.
Yeah.
But I mean, you want your website to be awesome. You yeah. want a well thought out website. You want people to be able to contact you. You want people to be able to find you. One thing, especially when I was an acquisitions editor, if I was looking for an author, maybe I heard somebody speak somewhere, maybe I heard somebody mention somebody or anything, and I go to look up this person, I want to be able to type their name and be able to find them. But yeah. a lot of times, some people who are not really thinking about that, maybe novices or whatever, not really connecting themselves to their brand. You know, we are part of our brand. You know, they may have like different names or weird names for their, you know, social media profiles, you know, purple something or Lionheart this or anything like it's like, how would I find you? Golden this, you know, I need to be able to find you. Mm-hmm. And so I highly recommend if you want a private account, I think that's one thing. But if you, I recommend that you have something that's public facing and easy for decision makers to be able to find you, your customers, the people that you're ministering to, the people that you are influencing or leading, the people you want to encourage, you know, you want them to be able to find you. So even your website, you may even want to have it be your name or something like that. And then, let's see. Having a plan, I think for many writers, it's like, how am I supposed to be writing my book mm-hmm. and doing social media and doing all these things? It is important to have a plan. It yeah. is important to sit down with yourself and say, okay, this is what I can manage. I'm going to use this and then look for tools and hacks to make it easier for you. Do you need a social media calendar? Do you need to be scheduling posts ahead of time? Do you want to come up with a list of 10 blogs that you'll write for the year, or, you know, however many, if you know, and look at the frequency of how often you want to show up and make those sometimes part of your writing practice. You may want to spend, a few hours a week or an hour a day or 30 minutes a day or something like that, putting your mind toward the content that you want to write. Some people do batching. They may spend a whole day on one day a month batching their content, coming up with all their posts, getting all their images. So time management is really can be a challenge, but it's important, I think, when it comes to trying to figure out time strategy, I'll say that. Yeah. I would say a lot of those things start there. Make lists of organizations that, you know, podcasts or influencers who are talking about things related to your story or message mm-hmm. and make a list of those people or organizations and make a plan to reach out to them. Invite yourself to be a guest blogger, invite yourself to be a guest on their podcast or something like that. Yeah. And that's some of your media outreach that you would do as you're preparing to release your book. Hopefully that's a lot.
No, that was amazing. You gave us multiple strategies, and you know, I'm sure one of the biggest eye openers for folks is that you should start marketing long before the book is complete.
I mean, and you don't have to do hard marketing. So it's not like I have a book coming out in 24 months.
It's putting yourself out there. And I think what you're inviting us to think about is the business of writing, the business of authorship. And, yeah. you know, we're really approaching this like we would a small business, essentially.
Yeah, it is.
And so I love that. And because if people want to be successful, they've got to get comfortable within that realm. And like you indicated earlier, you could be someone who's kind of a lackluster writer, but you've got that marketing down and you could become a bestseller bestseller, right? You could be,
yes,
be on a, you know, best-selling list, some of the major best-selling lists, as a result of you really refining your efficacy around marketing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's important too that you form a marketing style or plan around who you are as a person. You don't want to do things that take you, that make, that are inauthentic to you. You don't want to be in spaces that, you know, where that have values or things that are very different than yours, or that go about business in ways that you don't. You want to feel like you can show up as your authentic self in spaces, because that also draws people to you. So even as you're doing your social media and all of that, you want to be as authentic as possible. Yeah. And I wanted to just throw one thing in that timeline that I gave.
Oh, great.
The most critical parts of your marketing plan are going to be 60 days before the book releases and 30 days after. That's where you really want to dive deep into things like, especially 60 days before, things like your pre-launch plan. If you're going to have a book launch team, if you're going to start, you know, talking about the book really specifically, you'll want to start maybe 30 to 60 days ahead of the book being released. And then 30 days after, you want to spend time posting and sharing the media that you've gotten for yourself, maybe the podcast that you've been able to guest on, some blog posts and things like that, interviews and other ways, other types of support you've been able to, get for your book.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just so appreciate your generosity in giving us so much to think about when it comes to marketing. You didn't hold back and even got back in there and gave us another tidbit, which is amazing. So as we get ready to wrap up, one of the final things that I want to explore with you is, you know, you have a lot on your plate. I see you, you have an active presence on social media. I know that you have multiple clients that you work with. You know, this is really your craft. And, you know, managing your business since the launch of 2017, you know, working directly with writers. So, you know, what is your self-care routine? You know, how do you make sure that you stay healthy in the midst of everything that you do?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. There's cycles to that. You know, there are, one thing I think is important is to realize you can't keep the same levels of things all the time. Mm. There are different times where something is more intense than other times. There are times when other things kind of fall off. You just can't. But I think it's important to stay connected to what restores you and what brings you energy, no matter what. You know, some of the things I try to pay attention to is when I'm feeling most open, most generous, most patient. And, you know, that could happen during the course of a day, you know, where I feel smartest or I feel most present and available. Usually that's in the earlier parts of the day. And then I know where that falls during the week. I can't people after a certain point. I just can't do it. So don't schedule anything when you can't do it.
Yeah.
And usually that's for me the middle of the week, Tuesday through Thursday. Mondays and Fridays, I'm done. I can't do it. I try to have weekends where either I'm doing some sort of quiet work. I have seasons where I feel like I'm working around the clock. So I'll be honest with you. Yeah. And then there are seasons where I try to rest completely. And then there are in between seasons where I try to, like, can I have my weekend? Can I have my nights? Let me, you know, so I try to figure that out. There are seasons where I'm paying more attention to what I'm eating, the kind of rest that I'm getting. And there are other seasons where I'm like, okay, you're going to have to, you might be up a little late tonight, you know? And so having grace for yourself and realizing, so if I have that kind of a day or a week or a season, that means I got to have some off time. Yeah. That means I can't do calls the next day. I can't do whatever it is. It means that I have to, there are costs to some of that hustle and grind, right? Because I think that's necessary. I wish that I could say, oh yeah, just chill and it'll get done. That's not true.
And it might not even be a part of your makeup, right? And so I love what you're offering, that there is, you have tons of things in your toolbox and there's a flexibility associated with what's going on, right? You may have a season of just grind. I got to strap up and I'm going to get in and be as creative as I can to take the best care of myself as possible.
At the time,
But I love that you're offering that, you know, self-care is really seasonal. It is really ebb and flow. And I love what you said, right? To have compassion for ourselves, because, you know, when we get in the process of whatever that those wellness practices are and life throws us off because we're in a grind season.
Yeah.
A part of a self-care practice is to be gentle with ourselves in the midst of that and return to the extent that we're able to. And so that was really amazing. So as we get ready to wrap up, Javon, one final piece of inspiration that you have for aspiring writers that are looking to work with somebody like you, maybe. And not your pitch, right?
I would say, so one, I think I this is standing out to me right now, that I think is related to this idea of trying to work with your dream person or that person or whatever. I think one of the most important things whenever we're going for anything is really knowing ourselves pretty well, being very self-aware. So I feel like you want to spend some time really understanding what you need to be successful. Sometimes there are people who seem dreamy in whatever way from a distance, but really, you know, kind of, slow down and get quiet and hear really what you need. Everybody is not for everybody, you know, and I think that's important to know. And also be patient in the process of seeking that out. Sometimes, you know, there's all kinds of reasons that could be spiritual. God knows the end from the beginning. And sometimes we're thinking it ought to happen this way. It ought to be this person or that person. But he knows things that we don't know. And I think number one, knowing and identifying what's important to you, what you need to be successful, but then also being open to God, who knows all the details. You know, he knows their side and your side, and he has a plan for your writing, and he wants you to be successful because you represent him, and it means the world to him for you to radiate his glory in a way that really helps people to be excited about who he is, who he can be in their lives. So I think that's important to connect, especially as we're talking about Christian writers. Sometimes we get so caught up in these kind of conversations about the details and the business and the marketing, but God has a plan and he wants you to be successful. He didn't put you up to this to kind of just like, you got to figure it out. Good luck with that. He has a plan and he wants you to be successful. There are people he is highlighting, people he wants to be assigned to your success. And I think the more that you stay connected to him and connected to how he made you and what you need to be successful, the more those things will be drawn to you.
Yeah. What a powerful way to end. And I, you know, I say often that, you know, we co-create with Source, but what we cannot do is be attached to the outcome. That's the part.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
So if we are doing our work, if we're being diligent, if we're trusting, Source will take care of everything else. And all we have to do is wait and see and trust that as it's unfolding for us. And so, you know, I was just telling someone that when doors don't open, I just know there's a better door in store.
So yes.
I get upset, right? Like, I want this. I really wanted this, but God is like, I got something better for you over here.
He's got to trust.
Be grateful that that door didn't open, because I got something that you couldn't have even thought of, right? So that was so lovely. I have enjoyed spending this time with you so much, and I know that the audience has as well, and they're going to want to stay in touch with you, Javon. So how do they go about doing that?
So I have a website, javonbolden.com, and also my company website, emboldenmediagroup.com. And we have a contact page and we have people who monitor that. And so definitely reach out. We're also in social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, both company and me. And so, yeah, reach out, follow us, connect with us. And thank you for allowing me to share some things that hopefully has been helpful to you.
Oh my gosh, tremendously helpful. You did not hold back. And I'm so grateful for that. So audience, you heard it here. Javon Bolden, make sure that you connect with this queen and the work that she's doing. I follow her on Instagram and have been in spaces where I've had an opportunity to hear her speak, which is in part why she's here on this collaborative project, so that you can get the information you need to put your voice out there in the world. Until next time, beauties. Ashay.